The next case is 96-2248, USA Air Inc. versus Roger Tracy, Tax Commissioner.
There's a woman that's right there.
Yeah, and he's right there, I think. He's the tall guy sitting there. That's ridiculous to bring to fighting over this.
Stupid. She's unrested and didn't do anything.
Mr. Shawaka.
Thank you. Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Kevin Shawaka. I'm here on behalf of Appellant U.S. Air. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for the rebuttal. There are three issues before the court today in this case, all three of which relate to U.S. Air's in-flight passenger beverage service. The first issue relates to soft drinks, which are purchased by U.S. Air and distributed free of charge to the passengers during the flight process. The second and third issues relate to alcoholic beverages, which are also purchased by U.S. Air but resold to its passengers during the flight process. I'd like to first start with the soft drinks issue and then go through that and move later to the alcoholic beverages. As for the soft drinks, the precise issue is whether or not the soft drinks purchased by U.S. Air for use or consumption during in-flight beverage service are exempt as items used directly in the rendition of a public utility service. The Tax Commission and Board of Tax Appeals have determined that they are not, although I would point out that the Board of Tax Appeals decided that issue on a split decision 2-1, with one of the members holding that the sovereign should be exempt. A summary of U.S. Air's position in this case is basically that public utility exemption and the availability of that exemption in this case is consistent with the statutes and is consistent with this court's prior holdings in the passenger transportation area. The items of passenger accommodation, convenience, and well-being that are utilized on the plane during the flight process are exempt under the public utility exception, even though they don't play any role, actual role, in physical transportation itself. And in considering that position, I think it's important to first note that this court has held in the Cincinnati Gas and Electric and Cleveland Electric Illuminating cases that Ohio does not utilize a but-for test for analyzing the exception. What I mean by that is the taxpayer does not have to show that but for these items we couldn't render our service. It is sufficient that the taxpayer shows that they have purchased these items and in fact incorporated them into their system or their process for delivering their public utility service to their passengers. So the mere fact that these items are not indispensable to keeping the plane in the air is not legally relevant in this case.
That'd be true then with all the other accoutrements, the magazines.
It would be true with anything on the plane that exists for passengers.
The little nuts you get, the stale
exactly.
Nuts.
And it's really interesting if you stop and think about all the things that are on the plane for passenger accommodation. You've got reclining seats, seat cushions, flight attendant call buttons, airflow regulators can reach up and change your air.
So you're going to make all those tax exempt.
U.S. Air's position is that any item that's on the plane being directly in contact with the passengers that's there for passenger accommodation, comfort, convenience, or for their well-being is in fact exempt under the public utility exception.
Is the word in the statute accommodation or rendition?
It's rendition of the public utility service.
So you have to have the movie screen to render the public service to get a passenger from Columbus to Fort Worth?
In this instance, yes, and that's a very good point you just made, because the major question that I want you to think about on this is what is the public utility service that U.S. Air is rendering? The Tax Commissioner continually attempts to make the argument that the public utility service is just getting you from point A to point B, and everything else is not part of the service. But that ignores the reality of the situation, ignores the historical situation for the airline industry. We're dealing with people here, not goods that we're transporting, it's people. And because it's people, part of the service, part of the public utility service that they're rendering is dealing with making them comfortable, making them accommodated. And there's many valid reasons for doing that. One is, it is people. Two is, if you can keep people accommodated and comfortable during the flight process, the process goes much smoother and it goes much more safely. So you really need to stop and sit back and look at what is the scope of the public utility services being rendered. It's not just getting you there, it's getting you there comfortably, safely, conveniently. And for those reasons, we think that the board was wrong, the tax manager was wrong. We would point to the Erie Railroad case, which is the leading case in Ohio for passenger transportation in the public utility exemption arena. In that case, this court was asked to determine whether things such as train station accommodations or conveniences, things that the public utilize for purposes of accessing the transportation system, things like waiting rooms, public restrooms, public telephones, public lockers, things of that nature, not on the train themselves, but actually prior to getting on the train. But this court looked at it, and the board and the tax commissioner in that case were making the exact same arguments they're making here today, that if it's not part of the plane, it's not part of the locomotion, it's not exempt. But this court realized that the exception is broader than that, and more importantly, that the public utility service is broader than that. It encompasses those things that exist for the public to access the system in a convenient, safe, and accommodating manner.
Are any of those cases, those railroad cases to the borough council, any of them decided after the change in statute, the 57-3901?
They were not. There's only one railroad case, just to clarify. It's the Erie Railroad case of 1954. The statute was amended in 1967, but it's another excellent point, because the statute was amended to, in effect, codify the Erie Railroad decision. Prior to the change in the statute in 1967, there were some inconsistent cases out there. Some of the cases seemed to suggest that it was a very narrow interpretation that it had to be indispensable. Other cases, like Erie Railroad, said, no, it doesn't have to be indispensable, it just has to be incorporated as part of the overall service. The legislature in 1967, considering those two options, chose the broader option. It chose the Erie Railroad option. It said, we're going to make this thing broad, because we're going to recognize that the utility service, which is the only people, it encompasses more than just getting
it. Our case is that it gets to that, two of them, don't use the term essential. Is the soda essential to the production?
Well, it depends on how you define essential, and this court has done that in the past. And it goes to the Cincinnati Gas and Electric and the Cleveland Electric Illuminating cases, where this court said that to be essential within the meaning of the statute, it doesn't mean that it has to be theoretically necessary to render the service. Rather, it's sufficient for taxpayers to show that they've incorporated this as a direct, proximate part of their service, the service the public's receiving. So, from that standpoint, yes, it is essential. Within the meaning of how this court has defined essential, absolutely. If you're talking about, could we get them from point A to point B without the soft drinks, of course we could. But that's limiting the scope of the service to just getting there.
You've used dehydration as one of the arguments on behalf of soft drinks. Actually, water is better for dehydration than in order to prevent dehydration.
I think that's correct. And the point we're trying to make there is that people who are on a plane in a seat, strapped in with a seatbelt for several hours at a time, get thirsty. And when they get thirsty, some people prefer water, and that probably is better for dehydration purposes. But some people prefer soft drinks. Some people prefer other things. And the point is that when you're a captive, you have a captive.
What if some people prefer smoking to ease their nerves? They don't have that option, do they? No,
they do not, because it would be a violation of federal law to smoke on a domestic flight. So these things are on there. The dehydration aspect, again, is more to show that people get thirsty. It's a human reaction. And that's why, again, you're dealing with people. You have to accommodate for their human needs. That's why there's pillows on the ground. That's why there's blankets. If you get cold, you get a blanket. If you get hot, you adjust your air.
Let me try one more time. Where does it, the POP, fit in the 573901P definition? The property, which is to be incorporated into, become part of the consumer's production. It's not that. Transmission, transportation, or distribution?
Transportation.
That's transportation of the product, isn't it?
It includes transportation of people as well. this court has held that the airlines fit within the public utility exception in the TWA case.
But it says transmission, transportation, or distribution system, and which retains its classification as tangible personal property after such incorporation.
Right.
That's not what happens when I drink water.
But you got to remember, it's U.S. Air's use of the pop softens we're talking about. And U.S. Air, while they're using it, while they're distributing it, it remains tangible personal property. And it's their transportation system that they have incorporated all of these passenger accoutrements into.
But, Counselor, after such incorporation, it retains its classification.
And my point is, U.S. Air has incorporated it before the passenger accoutrement. They have incorporated it into their transportation system when they purchased it and stored it at the airport for loading it onto the plane. At that point, they have incorporated it into their system, and it is certainly tangible personal property at that point in time.
Better get to the liquor.
Pardon?
You better get to the liquor.
There is one other point on the stock I want to raise, just to give you something to think about. This is not something that's novel to just the airline industry here. If you think about public utility services, they are constantly evolving and fluid. Think about the telephone industry. 20 years ago, you thought, what was your telephone service? It was a rotary dial phone and a phone line, and that was it. Today, you can still receive telephone service. That's all that's theoretically needed. But we also have speed dialing, call waiting, call forwarding, caller ID, voicemail, all these other things. Those are add-ons. Those are not necessary. But yet, would we really say they're not part of the telephone service you're receiving? So I think if this court were to uphold the board on this issue, the tax commissioner might very well take that as a basis for going out and expanding it, going out and saying, okay, we're going to go after all the telephone companies now. We're going to assess the use tax on every item of the personal property they use for those extra add-on features because they're not essential. Again, it goes back to what's essential really means in the context.
I don't think the tax commissioner needs any encouragement from us to do those kind of things.
Well, hopefully we're not giving them any ideas. I would like to then move on to the alcohol beverages if there's no further questions on soft drinks. The alcoholic beverages is, as I mentioned, also served on board the plane, but they are sold. U.S. Air sells these capacities, they're not giveaways. And what U.S. Air does is it purchases these alcoholic beverages, maintains an inventory of the alcoholic beverages at the Ohio Airport services. And as they are needed, they're withdrawn from inventory, loaded onto the plane, and then sold to passengers. All sales take place in the air. They cannot sell it on the ground. But what the tax commissioner has done in this instance is assess the county permissive use tax with respect to U.S. Air's control, possession, and storage of the alcoholic beverages while they are at the airports in Ohio, while they are holding them pending resale. The problem with that is that it fundamentally ignores one of the most basic concepts of sales and use tax law, and that is the resale exception. If you're holding an inventory of goods for resale, it's not taxable. The idea is to tax the end transaction. And in this instance, it's clear that the alcoholic beverages were being resold. It's clear that the tax commission has assessed the use tax, and it's clear that that is directly contrary to the resale exception. The board, if you read their opinion, really got off on a tangent, and they just voted completely. And they ignored, I think this was too easy, they missed it, it was too simple. So our position on that is quite frankly, the resale expression applies, you can't tax inventory, otherwise this court would uphold the board's decision. Again, the tax commission could take it, theoretically, to go out and start assessing use tax on every retailer in the state with respect to all of their inventory goods held for resale. And that just simply does not work with sales and use tax law. The third issue, really, we only get to if this court decides against U.S. Air on the second issue. And that the third issue is that in assessing the use tax on the alcoholic beverages, the tax commissioner used as a tax base the sales price that U.S. Air charged the passengers. But if you look at the use tax statutes, they say the tax is assessed on the price. Price within the context of use tax is the price at which the consumer purchased it, the consumer being U.S. Air in this instance. person who's being assessed. So if this court were to find that the use tax, first of all, was appropriate, then second, the use tax was clearly applied to the wrong tax base in this instance. It should be applied to US Air's purchase price, not the subsequent sales price, which they sold the beverages at. I see that my light is up. If there are any sort of questions, I'll sit down.
Thank you, Mr. Shawalka. Ms. Katz.
May it please the court, we are here today to discuss whether or not soft drinks are an essential part directly used in providing a public utility service. In this instance, it's the transportation of passengers between A and B. The statute, which Justice Douglas described before, let me touch on it, it says essentially a tangible personal property incorporated into the transportation system and which retains its classification as tangible personal property, or fuel or power used in production of the public utility service, or tangible personal property used in the repair or the maintenance of the system. Now, what happened is when the statute was first written in 1935, the word directly was inserted to narrow it down so that it is not every single aspect of the public utility service that is granted an exemption. It is only that is directly used in providing the public utility service. Then, 30 years ago this month, it was narrowed again, and it was meant and it was described the words of 5739.01p were inserted at that time to describe what was meant by used directly in providing a public utility service. This is the definition. It was codified by the General Assembly. And in this definition, it was clear that tangible personal property incorporated into the transportation system retained its classification as tangible personal property. So this is what we're looking at when we're looking at the use of the soft drinks on the airplane.
Counsel, you've flown. The tax here is being applied not just to hops from Cleveland to Cincinnati, you're applying it to flights that might originate in Ohio and go to Los Angeles. Is that correct?
You are, the taxes on the purchase of and the use of the items by U.S. Air in the state of Ohio, and the Appellant Council is standing up here that these items were stored and were then put onto the plane. Under Mirandex and PPG and a series of cases, that's clearly the use in the state of Ohio. The only question on these items is whether they were directly used in rendering a public utility service.
So, and that question turns on the word whether or not it's essential.
That is correct, whether it is not...
Imagine, if you will, for a moment, getting on an airplane and flying to Los Angeles and being told there is no beverage service, period.
Your Honor, I would rather get on the plane and be told there's no beverage service than be told that there is no petroleum for the airplane.
So now we're equivalent about degrees of essential here.
The statute has defined what is meant.
Let me just hold you to my example. You're flying to L.A. and there's going to be no beverage available, period. You can't bring it on because that's probably unsafe to allow people to bring a flask or whatever. And you can't have a drink while you're on, not of water, not of pop, not of anything. No orange juice, nothing. You're going to ride for 4 hours, no beverage. Would you regard that as somewhat essential?
as a passage?
I would require that it be extremely convenient, but not essential to getting me from A to point B, which is why there are quite a few airlines these days that don't supply any kind of drinks at all. And if I may, this is not the first time the Supreme Court has decided this issue. It has been before the Supreme Court of the state of Virginia, the Supreme Court of the state of Indiana.
Their statutory language is the same as ours?
It's close, but they all found it a mere convenience. If I could read from the 1995 decision by the Pennsylvania
Court. Well, if you can read from it, I'm not particularly interested if their statute isn't verbatim the same as ours.
Their statute is used directly in providing a public utility service. And then they have said that, they say that in today's ever-changing and competitive airline market, there is no reason why the service of food and beverages on flights originating in Pennsylvania are necessary and indispensable for the delivery of what the passenger has ultimately paid for, air transportation. At best, we can only conclude that the service of these items is merely a convenience. And if I also may, we were talking about Erie Railroad versus Peck, which is a case decided before P was then originally Q 30 years ago, but now P was placed into the statute defining what is public utility service. In this case, Erie versus Peck, you're talking about a railroad terminal that was constructed, the real property going into the construction of that. And if you think about how the train service used to operate, the train would come and the passengers would get off, they'd have to go someplace and wait for the train, the next train to go someplace else. They'd have to have their baggage handled, their tickets purchased. And in a sense, this was a third spot on the railroad transportation system. It was an indispensable part of the system where the train came in, they had to sit for a few hours. It was mandated by statute from the turn of the century on that there be some place of comfort for passengers and that this be part of this service. It was regulated by the PUCO that this terminal be in and part of the service. This is radically different from a soft drink. There is no statute anywhere that I have seen that mandates the serving of a Coca-Cola or a soft drink on the airplane when it takes off or at a certain altitude. And in fact, it seems to me, if this was...
Counsel, let me come back to my example. You're a passenger, you're flying from Columbus to L.A., and you have a serious illness that requires you to take a pill or a tablet periodically. You're going to find another means of transportation if you can't have a beverage.
You're on a flying value jet. You're going to bring a thermos of water, and you're going to open the thermos and pour it out and take your pill.
Do you want to encourage that?
Well, this isn't the question. The question is whether or not it's essentially used in providing the transportation.
Isn't the status of the passenger on the plane essential to the operation of the plane?
Your Honor, our concern is, according to the statute, according to what the General Assembly has written as a definition of use directly in providing public utility service, the word transportation is incorporated into the transportation and retain its
status. Why don't you answer my question? Isn't the status of the passenger in the airplane essential for the operation of the airplane?
Your Honor, the safety of the passenger and the fact that the passenger cannot stand while the flight takes off and flies and lands mandates that seats become part of the transportation system.
So I'm trying to point out that don't you think that the comfort and the safety and the status of the passenger is essential for the safe operation of the airplane? I know having a Coke really may not be essential, but isn't that something we should look at, the passenger and what it is necessary to have the status of the passenger in the plane as to a necessary element that's needed in the statute?
Your Honor, if it's necessary, then the General Assembly should write it in. It's not there at the moment.
Okay.
At the moment, it's tangible personal property incorporated into the transportation system and retaining its classification as tangible personal property. And when you talk about CGE, you're talking about the boilers that were used as part of holding the material that went into the production of electricity. When you're talking about Cleveland Electric, you're talking about some gondola cars that were used to bring coal in. So it became a direct part of the provision of the utility service. This, I would say, is not. This is a mere convenience for the comfort of the passengers on the plane. There is no medical testimony in the record that indicates that the passenger will become severely dehydrated if not served a Coke. There is no medical testimony saying that the passenger will be woken up after 3 hours as the plane is approaching Los Angeles in order to make sure that the water is swallowed and the person is not dehydrated as the plane lands. If this was essential and it was that vital to keeping the people from being dehydrated on the airplane, where's the statute? Where's the language? Where's the testimony? It's not there, and I would submit because it is not there, it is not.
Your reading of the statute would always imply that the comfort and the convenience of the passenger is important in the past. That's what you want us to say. That's the common sense conclusion that we reach if we make the decision we want to make, that the comfort and needs of the passenger is immaterial, and therefore we tax all the other functions. Right?
Your Honor, the statute says that directly providing the service is what is granted an exemption, an exception from the tax, in order to encourage the public utility to be in the state of Ohio.
I would much rather go to a public utility in the state of Ohio that served me a drink than one that didn't, and I usually choose that. I don't choose some of those things because I don't like the fact that I don't get it. So isn't that discouraging transportation in Ohio when you encourage people to get rid of these things?
That's
the tax code is trying to encourage transportation to come here. That's the opposite of tax, in my opinion.
Your Honor, the fact that you are saying that you choose one or the other indicates not that the transportation system itself is in any way endangered by the lack of sustenance, but it is a promotional item on the plane, a mere convenience, that you know that if you take plane A, you will have perhaps more comfort because it will serve you soft drinks.
So if you start taxing all the soft drinks when they come into Ohio, then airlines are looking to cut costs and even attend. Okay, anyone that goes to Ohio or everyone that leaves from Ohio, they don't get soft drinks, but the other passengers will. I mean, that's sort of what you're driving them at economically if you hold that.
Your Honor, please remember that the tax is only used in the state of Ohio.
They're exactly right. Once you leave Ohio, then you're talking to somewhere else, right?
The tax is only used in the state of Ohio, and we are looking for what is directly used in providing the public utility service. This is not directly providing the transportation from point A to point B, and for that reason, the tax is imposed on it. And if you look at all of the other cases, I think that you will find that they were essential and integrated into the whole process. There really has not been sufficient evidence to base a reversal of the BTA's finding that soft drinks were merely for the convenience of the passengers. And I respectfully request this court to consider that.
Do you have?
Like to touch on the argument about alcohol.
Good, because that's the one I am having difficulty understanding the commissioner's argument. So give me your best argument.
Please remember, first of all, there weren't no records. The agent had to beg for records.
Okay.
And begged, and finally...
But he's got the records now, and this is alcohol, just to make it, to get your time used quickly. This is alcohol, little bottles of alcohol. They're stored in Ohio, someplace in Ohio. They're loaded onto the plane and then sold for consumption during the flight, and the tax commissioner assessed a use tax on that inventory, even though it's held for sale. Now, why?
Your Honor, the tax commissioner found that this was used in the state of Ohio. It was stored in the state of Ohio. The only records available that the tax commissioner had to make any kind of determination whatsoever were these sales records. From that, the tax commissioner determined that this amount was stored in the state and in these particular counties, and they were used in the counties. And there was, first of all, also...
Sold in the counties?
No, they...
Okay, what do you mean by used?
They were stored, and in fact, it's in the appellant's brief, and the appellant mentioned today that there was an inventory list, which, by the way, never came to the tax commissioner of what was stored in the state of Ohio. And from this inventory is then loaded onto the plane. We're taxing the use in the counties. And we also would like to say...
But I guess I'm confounded by the fact that the law seems to say that if it's held for resale, for sale, wherever it's held, that it's not taxed. Is that, am I wrong on the law, or what's missing? There's something missing here.
You're not wrong in the law, and without a doubt, there were some resold. We just don't have the records of exactly what was resold and what wasn't.
So this is a records case. It's not a legal issue, I guess. Is that?
That's part of it, and also the only legal issue that we have here is that the issue of resale was not properly raised in the petition for reassessment.
Okay, that's a separate issue.
Yes.
Right.
That was not raised in front of the tax commissioner at all. It came up indirectly at the Board of Tax Appeals, and it now seems to be the main focus here. The original issue at the tax commissioner level was that these were not used in the counties, but they were used in the air, and that was it. But the main thing is that the records were never provided, and so everything there was extracted from what records the tax agent could find and estimated. And
so the theory was that if they didn't open them on the ground in the county where they were stored, then they got taxed because they weren't reused yet?
Your Honor, the theory is that we didn't have the records, and the tax agent,
well, even if you don't have the records, you've got to have a legal theory on what you can happen with.
Well,
that theory doesn't make sense to me.
They are stored in the counties, and they are in the counties,
they're
stored in the counties.
What are they
loaded on the planes?
What are they storing them for? What's the end purpose of having those bottles stored?
They're stored for eventual use, Your Honor. Some of them are given away, and some of them are sold. We don't have any records. We had to extrapolate from that. They had plenty of time. They could have presented to the tax commissioner, to the Board of Tax Appeals. Where is the evidence? Where's the records?
So if they give them away, you can tax them. If they're going to be resold, you cannot.
That is correct, but where is the evidence of what was given away and what was sold? We don't have it. We had to extrapolate.
But if you give them away, you tax them like you tax often.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Thank you, Ms. Katz.
Thank you.
Mr. Shawaka, you stayed a little over a minute of your time. What's the records problem here, Mr. Shawaka, with... Why can't the tax commissioner decide which of these bottles are sold?
I am not certain what the records problem was. We were not involved in the audit process. I did not know that the communication that went back and forth between the taxpayer and the auditing agent on that. All I do know is what eventually became a market assessment, or what was assessed.
Do you agree that this is a records issue rather than just a simple legal question?
I think to touch on the point that Justice Moore made, there really isn't anything missing here. It's as simple as legal analysis. You've got a use tax that's been assessed on inventory that's being held for resale. It can't happen. And if this court even implies that that's a viable option or a viable theory, every retailer in the state is going to be subject to use tax on the inventory of goods.
Well, but the commissioner is saying we don't know which, how much of it's sold. Some of it's given away in first class. It's paid for, obviously, in a ticket, but it's
correct.
Given away, isn't it, in first class?
In the middle of the audit period issue, U.S. Air did first begin giving it away as first class service. So it's only about a half the audit period we're dealing with. And the fact of the matter is all the items in the assessment are sold items. Their items were sold because they were working on sales records. Why they couldn't get records of what was given away, I don't know.
But again, the same theory would apply. If you're giving the alcohol away, you're giving the soft drinks away, it's the same thing.
Exactly. It would be alcohol, soft drinks, and medicines would be no different.
Well, but if you lose on the first issue, you might want to win on the second one.
Correct.
Right?
That is correct.
Yeah, okay.
That is correct. If I may, just quickly, I think there was a lot of discussion on the soft drinks issue about essentiality. I'd just like to leave the court with a quote from the Cincinnati, or the Cleveland Electric Illuminating case, which sums up, in my opinion, supports the view of essentiality for this purpose. It says the property may be essential to the utility service, even though the utility might theoretically have provided the service without having acquired the property at issue. The existence of a use tax exemption is not contingent upon the wisdom of a management decision to acquire certain property, nor must a utility prove, in order to satisfy the essentiality test, that the continued production of the service was totally dependent on the acquisition of the property. Under 5739.01p, it is enough that the property, once acquired, actually is incorporated into and used as part of the vital or essential step in the production process. I think that is really where the court needs to go before it's been challenged.
Thank you. Case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion. We'll take a brief recess.